Title, I Know the Lord Will Find a Way. I'm thankful this morning. I know that you are too, that the Lord will indeed make a way and find a way for us. He has our best interests at heart. He wants to bless us with all good things. And he will bless us, and he does bless us with all good things. And of course, the greatest thing that he wants and desires to bless us with his eternal life. But that depends upon whether we really want it or not. That depends upon whether we would yield ourselves to his will and obey his gospel. So again, we're thankful for being here this morning, and we trust that our time together will be spent in praising our God and that he will be pleased with our service unto him this day. Psalms 119, a portion of that Psalms has been read this morning, and that's where we will be lifting our thoughts from today, as well as other scriptures, but our base scripture will come from this section of the Psalms, Psalms 119. Not only in this Psalms, but in many of the other Psalms and in the life of David, we would understand and would know that he was a man that loved the law of God. He loved the word of God. The very first verse of the section of scripture that was read this morning, David says, "Oh, how love I thy law, O God." David was in deep love with the word of God. And because he loved the word of God, he gave much deep thought to it. And you know, when you really love something, you give deep thought to that particular thing, whether it be a person or whether it be a thing. You give deep thought to it. It was not, that is, the word of God or the law of God. It was not a passing blimp on his spiritual radar, but it took up residence in his heart. In the very first division of the first chapter of Psalms chapter 1, David said this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law," he says, "does he meditate day and night." And so in Psalms 119, again, verse 97, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law, O God. It is my meditation all the day long." David was in love with the word of God. In the word of God, or in the law of God, he found direction for his life. Wisdom and understanding were discovered in the contents of his pages. Therefore, he was able to avoid the path of every evil way. Verses 19 through 101, he talks about that he was able to avoid the path of every evil way. He lived in a time such as ours today, where there is evil and false ways on every side. But because of the trust that he had in the law or in the word of God, he spoke with conviction in making a most profound statement in verse 104. Listen to it again. Psalms 119 and verse 104. He says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore," or for this reason, "I hate," he says, "every false way." What a better world we would have today if everyone had this conviction. Allow me then this morning to use this Old Testament passage to teach a New Testament lesson relative to our relationship with God. And I want to encourage all of us to have the proper relationship with God. And especially this being the evangelism emphasis Sunday, as the fourth Sunday of each month is so designated by us here. We're so thankful if you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to think deeply about having the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to maintain, or we need to keep the right relationship with God. And I think this passage that David uses and teaches us here from this Psalms is so important in our keeping or our beginning the right relationship with God. David again says, through thy precepts. And the word precepts simply means through thy word, through thy law. The word precept itself means a commandment that leads to a direction or rule. So God's law, God's word, were his commandments. And his commandments were the rule or the direction that he wanted his people to walk or follow after. And so his word, even today, as we look in the New Testament, is the same, carries the same connotation as the word precept. God has a rule, or he has rules, he has directions that he wants us to order our steps or to conduct our lives. And unless we go and follow his rules and his directions, then we will not have the proper relationship with Jesus Christ. And to hear him say, well done, in the last day, we're going to have to have the proper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, the psalmist says, David says, through thy precepts, through thy rules and thy directions and thy commandments, he says, I get understanding. And because I get understanding from your rules, from your precepts, from your commandments, then I hate, he says, every false way. So I'm talking about this morning, as you see in the bulletin, I understand, therefore I hate. I understand, therefore I hate. That needs to be our motto. That needs to be our attitude. I understand, because I understand God's will, then I hate anything that goes against the word of God. That needs to be our motto. It needs to be emblazoned, if you will, in our spiritual heart. To hate every false way. But there are some things that are necessary before we get to that point, before we can reach the point that David reached. Number one, he says, I understand. If we never understand God's precepts, then we'll never get to the point where we can hate his false way, a false way. So David said, this is the reason why I hate every false way, is because I understand God's direction for my life. I understand that a false way won't lead to the end that God wants for my life. And the world needs to know that today, that a false way will not lead to the end that God wants and intends for our lives. In order to get to heaven, we're going to have to follow a true way, not a false way. But there are so many false ways in the world today. And many people are in love, not necessarily with the word of God, but they're in love with the false ways. And the reason why many are in love with the false ways is because I'm convinced they don't truly understand what the true way is. And I want to encourage us this morning to understand what the true way is. So again, if you're visiting with us this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the New Testament, I hope this lesson will help you. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I hope it will help us to maintain the proper relationship with God. Consider, if you will, a few things this morning as we talk about, I understand, therefore, I hate. What are some things that will bring us to the point of hating? And when we talk about hating again, we're not talking about hating people, not talking about hating one another. We're talking about hating, disdaining, having a disdain for a false way or for an evil way. Number one, what is necessary to get us to this point is that we must understand what the Lord says so that we'll understand what the true way is. Understanding is so important. Wisdom is the principal thing, Solomon says. Therefore, he says, get wisdom. But he says, in all thy getting, he says, get an understanding. So we need to understand what the true way is, and we need to understand how we arrive at the true way. In order to arrive at the true way, and in order to understand the true way, we've got to understand how God gives his directions, his rules to us today. God gives his rules and his direction to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't whisper a small voice in our ears. He doesn't give us a dream. He doesn't give us a vision. There was a time when he used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore. He now gives us his rules, his precepts, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets. But he says, has in these last days, the next verse there says, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed, the Bible says, heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So God now speaks to us by or through his Son. His Son has the authority, if you will, to legislate for God. His Son has the authority to give us the rules that God gave him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, then Jesus went, after 7 days, Jesus went up to the mount with Peter, James, and John to be transfigured before them. And the Bible says, while he was there, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And the Bible says, Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But in verse number 5, the Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He says, hear ye him. God made Jesus his spokesman. God gave Jesus, again, the authority to legislate for him, to give us his precepts, to give us his rules, to give us his direction. And the Son gave the Great Commission as we know it. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says there, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, nor shall be condemned. So Jesus says now to the apostles, he's given the apostles, if you will, the authority to legislate or to exercise what he would legislate to the world. They were to preach this gospel to everybody in the world. And so Jesus now is again carrying out the mandates of God. And do you not know that Jesus gave the word to the apostles, and the apostles gave the word to us through the writing down of the scriptures? And when Jesus prayed the prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus said in that prayer, one of the things he said in that prayer, that he wanted people to believe on him through their word. Speaking about the apostles. In John chapter 17, verse number 20, Bible says, neither pray I for these alone, but he says, for them also which shall believe on me through who? Their word. The Lord wants us to believe on him through the apostles' word. Again, Jesus is carrying out God's mandate. God speaks to Jesus. Jesus speaks to the apostles. But he did something to bring to the apostles' remembrance everything that he taught them while he was with them here on the earth. He gave them the Holy Spirit to direct them so that there would be no mistake in the precepts, in the rules, and in the directions that we needed to go. He gave them the Holy Spirit for that express purpose. Again, to comfort them. He was going to leave them, but he gave the Holy Spirit to comfort them. The Bible says over there in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, he says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name." That phrase, "my name," means by my authority. Why would it be by his authority? Because God has given him the authority. Matthew 28 and verse number 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me." God gave him the authority. And so then, the Father now is going to send the Comforter by the authority of Jesus. And he says, the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost, he's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So Jesus now is going to speak to the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost. And when we continue in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse number 26, he says this, "The Comforter is come," he said, "he shall come." Oh, he's going to send the Comforter. Now he says, "when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." He gets it all from the Father. This all goes back to Hebrews 1 and 1. God is using Jesus now to direct people what they need to do. He says, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then in John chapter 16 and verse number 7, he's still talking about this Holy Spirit. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then by verse number 13, he says this, in John chapter 16, he says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." Now that's important. The Spirit will not speak of himself. In other words, the Spirit is not going to go off on a tangent and say what he wants to say, different from what the Lord has said, from what God has said. They all going to agree. He will not speak, the Bible says, of himself. Sometimes folks will say, "the Spirit told me this, and the Spirit told me that." And what they tell you the Spirit has told them is different from what the Word of God says. Well, I know the Spirit of God didn't tell them that. The only way the Spirit of God talks to us is through the Word. They all agree. So they must speak the same thing. So he says, "he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear." Who was the Spirit going to hear? He was going to hear Christ, because Christ has the authority. God sent the Spirit by the authority of Christ, and the Spirit was going to turn around and listen to what Christ has to say. So Christ said to the Spirit what the rules and what the precepts and what the commands and what the directions was for our life. So the Spirit then will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will come, he will rather show you things to come. I'm saying all of this to get us to understand that if we are going to ever get to the point where we can hate, disdain, and evil way, we're going to have to understand what the Lord says to us, what God says to us through Jesus Christ, who sent the Spirit, who inspired the apostles, and they wrote down what the inspiration was. We're going to have to understand what that says. If we never understand it, then we'll never get to the point where we're hated evil way. Many times, I've said this before, that perhaps sometimes the reason why we get off and do things wrong is because we don't understand, or we don't know that the Scripture teaches differently. And so we go by our feelings, or we go by our thoughts, we go by our ideas, or we go by what somebody else say, and we don't know what the Scripture really say, and we, because it feels right, we think that we are right. Therefore, it may be wrong, but we'll never hate it. We'll never get around it because we don't know the Scripture teaches against it. So we got to understand then what the Scripture teach in order for us to get to the point where we will hate every false way. Studying the scripture then, we can understand, and don't let anybody fool you, and this is one of the devices that the devil will use, that you can't understand the Bible. Now you mean to tell me a God who knows everything and who knows us inspires his holy men to write down something to give to a group of folks, including, meaning all of us, folks who are alive in the world, to give to a group of folks knowing that they can't understand what he wrote to them? God wouldn't do that. It wouldn't make sense. That don't even make common sense. But because God knows we can understand, that's why he gave it to us. But you see, so many times we're looking for a cop-out. We don't want to do what's necessary in order to understand it. That's why a lot of times people don't want to study. They want other folks to tell them. They don't want to study for themselves, will you? They want other folks to tell them. They want to do something else. They don't want to waste no time, perhaps. Waste time studying the Bible. Let somebody else tell them. So they go to church and they listen to the preacher. They go to Bible class and they listen to the Bible class teacher. Now, are those individuals important? Yes, they are. But they are not so important that we ourselves as an individual can neglect studying the Word of God. So don't let the devil fool you into thinking that you can't understand the Word of God. Now, and granted, the Bible says there are some things that are hard to be understood. And perhaps we'll spend a lifetime understanding the Word of God. But we got to keep on studying it. We got to keep on studying it and searching it so that we can get to the point of understanding it. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, he talked to them about the mystery, some things he had wrote before in few words. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says, For this called I Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, he says in the next verse, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote in few words. And verse 4 says this, whereby when you read, you may what? Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, if you put yourself to some trouble and read it, and the word read here carries with it more than just the idea of just reading it, but studying it, concentrating on it, meditating on it, thinking deeply on it. When you read it, he says, you understand it. So when we do as Paul, as David did, when we love God's word, when we meditate upon it, when we study it, when we think deeply upon it, we can come to the understanding of what the will of God is. Again, Ephesians 5, I believe it is, around about verse 17, he says, be not unwise, but wise understanding what the will of the Lord is. So once we come to an understanding of what his will is, then we are in a position to hate every false way. But we hadn't got there all the way yet. We just got to the first base, if you will. We just now understand it. The next step then into hating every false way is that we got to believe what we understand. You see, it's one thing to understand it, but it's another thing to believe it. So we got to believe what it says. And you know, without believing what it says, we can't please God. Doesn't your Bible read like this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6? For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder, number two, of them that diligently seek him. Now, how do we seek God? Isaiah 34 and verse 16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We don't seek God by looking at the stars, even though they are a manifestation of God. We don't seek God by looking at the moon, even though it's a manifestation of God. We seek God by looking at his word. So when we seek the word of God, and if we believe the word of God, then the next thing I'm going to talk about, when we put it into practice, then we can please God. But we may understand it all day, but still don't believe it. People will read the word of God. Mark 16:15. go into all the world and believe the gospel. I'd rather go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, when you read that statement, if we have any intelligence about us, we can understand that. But then folks will turn right around and say, I don't believe you have to be baptized. That shows to me that they understand what the word says, but then they don't want to believe what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We can understand that. But it's another thing when it comes to believing it. The reason why they don't want to believe it is because they don't really want to do it. They've been misled. Folks have taught them that it's not necessary. And so, again, they don't hate that non-essential, baptism being non-essential to salvation type of way. They don't hate that because they understood what the Bible says, but they don't believe it. Don't let the devil cause you not to believe what you understand. When you understand what the Word of God says, then believe it. That's the only way we can please God. We must please Him by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we must put our trust in what the Word of God says. And many times we don't trust the Word of God like we ought to. We read it, we understand it, but we don't believe it and trust it. The people that came through the wilderness, they had the same problem that so many folks have today. You see, people are no different. The nature of man is still the same as it was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Our nature hadn't changed. A lot of things, as far as technology and all those kind of things have changed, but our man's basic nature has not changed. It's the same today as it was many thousand years ago. So we need to be able to trust God's word. And the reason why the people that came out of Egyptian bondage, the reason why all of those grown folks didn't make it there is because they had a problem trusting God's word. They didn't have no problem understanding what Moses said. Their problem was they didn't trust him. They don't believe it. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at what the Bible says there. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. And verse 2 says this, for unto us, now, the inspired writer is writing to New Testament Christians, but he's talking about what happened back there with God's folks that came through the wilderness. And he's trying to get them not to be like those folks that came through the wilderness and they all died in the wilderness. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. They heard, they understood what Moses says, but they didn't trust it. They didn't put their faith, their trust, their confidence in the word of God simply because they didn't believe it. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, if God's word is going to do us any good, if God's precept is going to do us any good, if we're going to ever get to the point where we hate every false way, we're going to have to not only understand it, but we're going to have to trust it. We're going to have to believe it. And you know what? Jesus knows whether we believe him or not. Yeah. We can plead to the Lord. I was at church every Sunday. I went to every Bible class session. I read my Bible and I studied my Bible every day. But Jesus knows whether we really believe what we're reading, what we're studying. He knows that. Why? Because he knows us. You know, there were some folks in John chapter 6 that didn't believe Jesus, and Jesus knew the ones that didn't believe. In John chapter 6 and verse number 60, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, Jesus had talking about, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they thought perhaps that he was talking about taking a physical bite of him. But he was talking spiritually. But they didn't believe it. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And the Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the next verse says this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And the next passage says this.
What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And then he continues to say, it is the spirit that quickeneth or make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And verse 64, he says this, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not.
And who should betray him?
You see, Jesus knows us.
Jesus knows whether we really believe his word or not. He knows whether we really trust his word or not. He knows whether the word is just passing by our hearts as a blimp on the radio. Or he knows whether the words are really taking root in our heart. He knows that. So let's not try to fool Jesus. We can't fool him. Let's be honest with ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, then we can be honest with Jesus. And believe his word. So if we're ever going to get to the point then that we will hate every false way, then we must believe what he says.
Well, two steps are good,
but I believe three would be better. Not only must we understand what he says, and must we believe what he says, then we must apply what he says in our lives.
That's what David did. David was able to apply what the word of God said in his life.
Notice again in Psalms chapter 119, in verse number 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy law. That's application of God's precepts in David's life. Because he understood the word of God, the law of God, the will of God, then he went about making application of it by refraining his feet from every evil or every false way.
When he realized that God's word sent him in one direction, he went in that direction. When he realized that God's word forbade him from going in a particular direction, he did not go in that direction.
He refrained his feet. He made an application of the word of God. To understand it is one thing, to believe it is another, but to make application of it in our lives is far more better.
And I know that didn't come out right. Far more better.
The English teachers will get me on that one. I want to make my point.
We must make application of what the word of God says.
Again, this simply means that we must obey and live by what the word says. But again, it will never happen unless we believe it and unless we understand it.
There are many false ways to contend with today. Number one, there is the way of denominationalism. That simply means there are many choices of churches. That's what denominationalism is all about. There are many choices of churches. But when we read God's word, when we study God's word, we should, if we have open hearts and open mind, we should come to the realization that there is only one church in the word of God. Only one is there. The Bible speaks of it in the singular. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? I'm referring now to Matthew 16, the end and down about verse number 13.
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art Elijah. Some say that thou art Jeremiah. Or some say that thou art just one of the prophets. He said, but whom do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not churches. But I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not them, but it. But the way and the false way of denominationalism says, choose the church of your choice.
Sometimes you listen to the radio and you hear people saying,
I thank the Lord that we have so many churches to choose from. But Jesus certainly didn't hear that prayer. He certainly didn't hear that prayer. Because he only built one. We only got one to choose from. That is the right one. If we want the right one, we only got one.
The Lord never wanted division.
Even when that crept in some division in the church itself, he never wanted it. And so he wrote to the church through the mouth of the Apostle Paul. The Spirit inspired him to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, I beseech you by the name of Jesus Christ. There's that word by the name again. What does it mean? By the authority. Why was Paul begging them by the authority of Jesus Christ?
Because Jesus was the one that had the authority. He said, I beseech you by the name of Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
There's not a denominational church when you put them all together. That's not you put them together, none of them all teach the same thing. So that means that they are divided. Their doctrines do not coincide with one another. But yet that's a way out there that many people are following after. But if people would just understand that the Lord has only one church, why? Because they can read it in the Bible. If they just believe that, just put their trust in that, their confidence in that, they'd walk away from denominationalism and walk to the Lord's church.
But again, many times the reason why they won't do it is because
it's one of two things. Either they don't understand it, or either they don't believe it. And certainly if they don't understand and don't believe it, they can't make application of it in their lives.
There's only one church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 tells us that the church is his body.
Ephesians 4, 4 says there is one body. Ephesians 3, 6 says God wants everybody to be members of the same body. So I would encourage you this morning, if you're a member of a church that you can't read about in the Bible, understand that the Lord has only one church. Believe that the Lord has only one church. And then walk away from whatever you're in and walk, as I've already said, to the Lord's church. Become a member. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and the Lord will add you to his church. Then there's the way of tolerance and acceptance floating all around out there. Tolerance and acceptance. In other words, we got to be tolerant of people with all kinds of views and accept them, even though their views are different from us. And I think about one particular area when you talk about this stuff of the alternate lifestyle. They want you to be tolerant of that and accept folks in that. Well, God don't accept folks like that. So how can we accept people like that? Do we love them? Yes. But we can't accept them in our fellowship, if you will, unless they change their way of living, change their way of thinking. Why? Because their way is leading them to hell. And I make no apologies for saying that. Because the Bible points out that that's not God's way. It's an evil way. It's a false way. In Romans chapter 1. Look at a scripture with me, if you will. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Look at what the Bible says there. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The next passage says this. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And the next verse says this. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. But drop on down, if you will, to verse number 32 of that chapter. Look at what the Bible says down here. The Bible says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Death. That's spiritual death, brothers and sisters. Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Individuals who walk after that type of lifestyle,
the Bible says they are worthy of death. And unless they change their way of living, they're going to get it. And unless we, if we are guilty of, not may not be that sin, but if we are guilty of other sins, unless we change our way of living, we're worried of death, and we're going to get it. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's an evil way to go in that kind of way. And I don't care who sanctioned it, it's still an evil way. It's against God's will. But a lot of times people says, well, I don't think the Bible condemns that. They either don't understand the Bible or they don't believe it. And most of them, I believe, just don't believe it because they want to do what they want to do. I want to say to us, brothers and sisters, until again we hate every false way, we're going to be walking in evil stuff. We need to hate every false way. There's a way out of this. It's called repentance. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Look at what the Bible says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, the Bible says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, he says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. And that's a whole lot of sins in this verse here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Next passage says this, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But then the next verse says this, and such were some of you. But you are what? Washed. If God would accept them, or had accepted them the way they were already, there would have been no need for them to be washed. That has reference to baptism. They repented of their sins and they were washed in the waters of baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result of their being washed in them, they are sanctified, they are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They made application, if you will, of the Word of God when it came to them. They understood it and they believed it and they made application of it. They repented of their sins. And now God now accepts them. God has justified them as though they had never sinned. Again, until we understand, until we believe, and are willing to make application of it in our lives, we will not hate every false way. And as the way of free lifestyle, that is to live as one desires, as I hasten on to a conclusion, that would include such things as premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, it even includes living together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, look at what Paul says to the church at Corinth. He said, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But then the next passage says, and nevertheless to avoid fornication. Why do we need to avoid fornication? Because fornication is one of those sins as mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19 through 21, that will damn our souls to hell. So we need to avoid it. Let every man, he says, have his own wife, and let every woman have their own husband. We can't live this free lifestyle and say, I'll live my life any kind of way I want to. Unless we again understand that God has a directive that goes against that and believe that directive that goes against that, we'll never make application in our life. We'll keep on living that free lifestyle, doing what we want to do, satisfying the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. We'll keep on doing that unless we realize that God has a precept against that, and unless we believe it and trust it and make application in our lives, we're going to keep on doing it. So we need to avoid it in order that we might be saved in the end. You see, the end results of doing those kind of things is the loss of the soul. Do anybody want to lose their soul? I don't want to lose mine. That's the end results of not making application of the will of God in our lives. Any other thing that we could come up with this morning, you can just add into the list. But anything that is against the will of God, we need to learn to hate it. And not only hate it, but avoid it. But unless we hate it, we're not going to avoid it. As we close this morning then, understanding that these ways that I've talked about are false, and knowing that following them will damn our souls to hell, how can we then not hate every false way? David says, through thy precepts, I get what? Understanding. Therefore, I hate every, not some, but I hate every false way. Every false way will damn our souls to hell. Whether it's denominationalism, whether it's the just accept me and whatever I do, if it's that way, if it's not God's way, damn your soul to hell. Let me live my life the way I want to live it. No, no. Jesus has the authority. Jesus is the one that tells us how we're to live our lives. We ought to want to please Jesus. Because in order to go to heaven, we're going to have to please him. We're going to have to obey him. Hebrews 5:89 says, though he was a son, yet learned your obedience by the things which he suffered. And then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Jesus will save us, yes, but it's on the condition that we obey him. And until we understand his will, until we believe his will, and until we make application of his will in our lives, we'll never obey him. Let's be like David. David says again, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every, not one or two, but every false way. Are you here then this morning? Realize that perhaps you've been going in a false way. You're not living your life according to the will of God. You're not a member of the body of Christ. Why not turn away from that? It's called repentance. Turn away from it. Jesus has a plan in order for you to be saved. You didn't believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And go down in a water of agreeable baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. And we've already talked from the scriptures that he has only one. You don't join the church of your choice. Jesus will add you to his when you obey his will. Become a member of his church and then live faithfully unto death. And we'll never live faithful unto death if we don't hate every false way. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. You found yourself caught up in some of these evil, false ways that I've talked about. You need to turn away from them so that God will be pleased with you. So if you need to confess of it every way, perhaps you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, that will help you to live closer to God. You believe we can help you. Why not respond? Do that right now. I will stand. I will sing.
I know the Lord shall find a way for me.
Will you come? Come right now. Will you come?